From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, December 18th, 2025. A windstorm could bring gusts of up to 60 miles per hour to some parts of Maine Friday. As Michael Livingston reports, the Maine Emergency Management Agency is advising residents to prepare for power outages and dangerous roads.
According to the National Weather Service, the strongest winds are expected down east and inland toward Bangor. Utility companies say they're preparing for the storm by having extra crews on standby to deal with downed trees and power lines. The Maine Emergency Management Agency says it's always a good idea to have a supply of fresh water and non-perishable food on hand. Charge your devices and have spare batteries for flashlights. Dropping temperatures on Friday night will freeze standing water from rain and snow melt earlier in the day, possibly causing slick roads. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
The Massachusetts-based Concord Museum is the latest to begin a process of repatriating a collection of Wabanaki artifacts back to the tribes. In a notice filed today, the museum said it has a collection of 13 objects that were removed from burial sites in several locations in central and northern Maine, likely by an amateur archaeologist in the mid-19th century. The objects include stone bifaces, a polished stone, and a box of red ochre. The Abbey Museum in Bar Harbor and Brown University were among other institutions that began the repatriation process of returning about 24 cultural items to tribes in Maine this year. A 14-year-old Windham High School student is facing criminal charges after police say he was researching how to buy weapons and made a list of students he may have intended to target. In a press release, Windham police say students alerted them to a potential threat earlier this week, which prompted an investigation. The student, who was not named, is currently under house arrest and can't enter school property. He was charged with criminal solicitation, criminal conspiracy, and terrorizing. The investigation is ongoing, and police say there is no immediate danger to the public. Some commercial landowners in Maine are expected to receive millions of dollars to help grow healthier, more valuable timber. As Peter McGuire reports, the federal grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture replaces a similar Climate Smart Forestry Award terminated by the Trump administration.
The $32 million package will pay companies to thin woodlands to encourage healthier forests and expand markets for local timber. Andy Colness from the New England Forestry Foundation, which manages the grant, says the practices could be used on 50,000 acres, mostly in Maine.
There are stands that are in need of thinning out smaller, less productive trees to allow the remaining trees to grow into more valuable timber and also to provide more diverse and more healthy forest ecosystem.
A similar Climate Smart Forestry grant was awarded to the foundation in 2022 and eliminated by the Trump administration this year. Colness says 23 producers were already vetted to receive funding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Plans for Bangor's second tiny home park have gotten initial approval from the city. The Bangor Planning Board unanimously voted to approve the park's land development permit this week. Located off Peshaw Road near Shepherd Drive, the park will feature 30 tiny homes, each roughly 400 square feet. Each unit will have its own parking space and will sit on a 1,000-square-foot lot. City code requires a second subdivision approval vote, so the board will vote on the project again in the new year. The family of Braden Callahan, the 12-year-old boy who was fatally struck by a school bus in Rockland in late November, is taking legal action against Regional School District 13. Attorney Steve Smith is representing the Callahan family. His firm filed a notice of claim on November 26, informing RSU 13's superintendent that the family is seeking $10 million in damages for failure to supervise the bus driver and for the gross negligence in which the bus driver operated the school bus.
You know, I said $10 million on the notice of claim. It might as well have been $1 billion. I mean, the life of a child is precious and priceless. What is that number?
If the claim is denied, Smith says the family has the right to sue. A second child was killed by a school bus this week in Standish. Maine's Public Utilities Commission has agreed to contract with solar farms to generate 51 megawatts of electricity, enough to power about 13,000 homes. The energy procurement was conducted in partnership with Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Vermont, and it was fast-tracked to let developers take advantage of federal tax breaks set to expire in about a year. The commission still needs to finalize agreements with five solar producers that will build new arrays in Maine. The projects are set to come online by the end of 2030. Central Maine Power was rated the worst in customer satisfaction among large utilities in the East, according to a 2025 study by J.D. Power and Associates. CMP has been at the bottom of the survey since 2018. The study is based on more than 127,000 online interviews with residential customers nationwide. J.D. Power says average monthly residential electric utility costs reached a new high of $189 in 2025. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently announced that it's removing black box safety warnings from hormone replacement therapy as a treatment for menopause. The agency says tens of millions of women have been denied effective treatment for more than two decades because of flawed data behind the warning. As Patty White reports, some Maine women and physicians say recognition of menopause as a health issue is long overdue.
It's a cold November evening, but in the Down East town of Millbridge, a small group of women have ventured out to a menopause support group. They're here to share things they don't always feel they can elsewhere.
It was like, yeah, just isolating sometimes. And it's hard to talk about. I don't know how do you bring up, I had the worst night sweats of my life last night. Like, nobody wants to like hear about that.
At 31, Elizabeth Chamberlain is still two decades away from the average age for menopause. But she tells the women sitting in a circle of sofas and chairs that she experienced menopause-like symptoms in her 20s while getting treatment for endometriosis.
It was probably like the hardest 2 years of my life. And knowing that I have to do that again is kind of a little scary.
Others in the group lament that providers have been dismissive of their menopause symptoms.
I can't stand when someone said, you're a woman, that's why you're tired all the time. And you just want to punch them.
Teresa Oleksu, who's 62, says many of her symptoms have persisted for more than a decade.
And I think if I had hormone replacement therapy, my life could have been so much better.
Use of hormone therapy plummeted after the FDA added black box safety warnings in 2003. They were based on a study that found the treatment caused an increased risk of heart attack, stroke, and breast cancer. But in the years since, a growing consensus of doctors and researchers have criticized the study's findings, saying they were misinterpreted and wrongly applied to all forms of hormone therapy.
That was just a very poorly executed release of the information that ended up scaring, you know, literally millions of women and at least hundreds of thousands of providers.
Dr. Kirsten Sutton is an obstetrician gynecologist at Northern Light Mayo Hospital in Dover, Foxcroft.
So we all got scared of providing menopause care, and basically we're telling women they had to just get through it.
Sutton recently became a certified menopause practitioner to better help her patients, and she prescribes hormone replacement therapy. She says further research has found that its benefits to alleviate menopause symptoms generally outweigh the risks for women who are under the age of 60.
You know, you feel like a hero because you're making them feel better. And a lot of them have been like, oh, I feel like I have more energy. I feel like I can focus better. I feel like I'm sleeping better. I feel like I'm more confident in my life. I'm not sweating when I'm in front of people at work.
Dr. Kelly Nichols, an OBGYN at Maine Health in Portland, also supports the removal of the safety warnings. But she cautions that hormone therapy is not a panacea.
It's not a green light that estrogen is safe and effective for every person and for every indication.
It is something to discuss with providers, Nichols says. Women don't have to suffer in silence.
I think women just want answers.
Back at the menopause support group in Millbridge, Wendy Ormsmith says she's not sure what the shift on hormone replacement therapy means for her.
So this is bringing up for me just like a little bit more confusion.
Ormsmith says she's been experiencing menopause symptoms for 5 years. Things like brain fog and neuropathy. She says it's even stirred anxiety and depression that had been under control. She's also a breast cancer survivor and says when she's asked providers about hormone replacement therapy, she hasn't gotten many answers.
My experience has been some really good physicians just don't really want to talk about it.
But the women here are hopeful that's changing because, as group leader Nicole French says,
menopause is having a moment.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
So true.
Senator Angus King says the public is entitled to see a Defense Department video of a second airstrike that killed two survivors on a suspected drug boat. King watched the full video of the September incident this week during a classified briefing with other members of the Senate Armed Services Committee. King says the Pentagon has released plenty of other videos of fatal airstrikes on alleged drug smuggling boats.
If Secretary Hegseth can appear on Fox News the day after the strike with the video of the boat being hit, there's no reason that the video of the survivors being hit about an hour later shouldn't also be made public.
Pentagon officials have defended the double strike, but King said that he does not believe hitting the survivors was legally justified based on what he has seen and heard so far. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Holiday Lights. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.